You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in ministry to compete, you are in ministry to war. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do ministry well.
We bless you, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We just want to worship. We just want to worship you. All love to be, all love bye, all love to be, all love bye. I yield my mouth. Oh, for no shame, oh, no bow, mo. Oh, fire shall put it to say, oh, long to be, oh, long bow.
You know, I just want you to worship God with me. Because wherever you are, we are together. We're still going to spend time talking. And I want us to interact. But I just want us to bless God. Just give Him praise. Just wherever you are. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, you are holy, and forever you are God. We bless you, Lord, you are holy, and forever you are God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you are God. Just bless God, just give Him praise. Thank you, Father. There's none like you, Lord. Over Sphere of Light Church, over everyone, you have allowed us to be a blessing too. We just want to bless you. You have not called us out as the best, but yet you qualify us in the process. We thank you, Lord. We give you all praise and glory, Father. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for your saving grace that can pick a man from a dunghill and yet use him for your glory. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Just bless him with me. Just give him praise. Wherever you are connected from, just give him praise. Oh, bless you, Father. Oh, thank you, Ancient of Days. The I am that I am. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Bless you. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless you. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Mon baka tuo baka chi. Coaching kafama baka so. Arte kokuma baka samsam. Segopia kaka so. Segopia yesu. She's in Kau Maka. Bless you, Father, the Ancient of Days. There I am that I am. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. With you we can run through a troop. With you we can scale two walls. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. You know, someone out there might feel what's so special about 6 years? What's so special about 6 years? But I remember vividly how that when we started out as Friends of the World at Mimbo, I think Pastor Oni Isaac was around that time that resumed to campus. Your set just resumed part one then. And I stood before the people watching everyone Amen. Are we back? Jehovah Idebube. Jehovah Idebube. Leligwe. Leluwa. Ile chachi. Narambo. Ibubike. Nara. Jehovah. Idebube. If at least we can have a minister of God that will sit with this and you will find the reasons why you should continue, then the purpose has been achieved. So this is not a meeting of showing how far we have come. I think if there's any joy I have in this season, it is the joy of the knowledge of the fact that I know I am in the center of God's will. You know, that joy, nothing can be compared to it. That place where you know adequately that you are in the center of God's will, you know. So I'll be answering a few questions. People I mentor are online, and maybe a few ministry sons and daughters are online too. Friends are online, partners are online. So as we go on, and let me say this, I think one of the things that probably one of you might have listened to our teachings here in this ministry, and you probably have been blessed. And I want to tell you the reason why some of those things are like that. While going through many phases that God has helped us to go through, and I know there are still many more phases that we'll go through, at some point in my life, I was looking for sincere answers. If there's anyone who have gone through, you know, that phase, so I could help. Thank God for the gift of my spiritual father. And at some point, you know, I was not able to really lay hands on, you know, people who have, you know, who are going through my phase or who have been through it, to
find encouragement, but say, until I met my spiritual father. You know. So, we'll just discuss as brothers, and even to the sisters watching, just talk as colleagues. Let's just interact and see how we all can be encouraged. Our ministry started out as friends of the world. Friends of the world. You know, God just laid it in my heart. I was in Ghana. I was in my final year when God said to me, when you get back to Nigeria, raise me end time Hami. I didn't know how, because it is not just enough to know what God is saying you should do. You need to know how. You know, I didn't know how. And but when in the year 2014, I was already done. All right, I'd finished a year and some months before that August. When the Lord now gave me the instruction that it's time to start a Bible study group, you know, on OAU campus then, and then it will do what it wants to do to the Bible study group. You know, around that season of my life, I've never seen myself, really. I've never seen myself as a leader of any ministry. In fact, I would never believe that God would ever call me to lead any ministry. I served as a pastor in the Redeemed Christian Church of God, a church that I'm still connected with covenantly. And by the grace of God, everywhere I've ever served, I've always left well, regardless of any hostility or something. Everywhere I've ever served. I don't have anywhere I've ever served in ministry that I cannot go back to. I don't have anyone at any location I've ever served in ministry that I cannot reach out to and cannot reach out to me. Are you following me? Even those who have left our ministry, you get what I'm saying? You know, they can still reach out, and we still reach out. Some of them are even still around, you know, as friends in the ministry. You know, so I never saw myself as one that would have to lead any ministry or something. It was not one of those things. I didn't feel qualified. That's the sincere truth. You know, so when God said that, and contrary to popular opinion, I didn't finish from Obafemi Law University. Because many people see that Pastor Femi Lazarus, probably God has blessed him with people from there, influence from there. I've only pastored around Ife. And yes, I've been pastoring around Ife since year 2009. That's 11 years. Amen. 2009. Alright. So, some of people like Pastor Isaac now was in pre-degree. You were the PD court. No. Editorial coordinator, yes. The same said to Pastor Julius. He's online. He's also online. Alright. So he was one of the escorts then. Right? They met, you know. I've been pastoring there before they came. Even in their time, I was not really much into the active pastoring. I was spearheading the church before they came. You know, and so it didn't look like God would have mistake. The first day we had that Bible study group at Membo, you finish from OAU, you know Membo. Membo is like the stadium arena, you know. We stood open air there with seven people. Pastor Julius Ayodoba, Pastor Joseph Adeniro, Ojo Grace, Eniola Yusuf, Jembola Grace, Toluani Ajao, Father help my heart. Shaibu Peter, thank you. Pastor Peter Shaibu, our professor. We were together. First, and by the grace of God, these seven people, by the grace of God, they are still around. I think one or two. Alright? But there's none that is not reachable. Amen. We started. And I remember standing before the people that day. And I knew. These people think in their heart that I know what I was doing. But I was only standing there by faith. Even the day our church started, 2 years ago. Alright, the month of June 2018. We couldn't have the meeting we're supposed to have this year because of COVID and the restrictions, but next year we'll be having the meeting. When we started, I remember standing before the people also, and the only question on my heart is, God, where do we go from here? You know, it is not every vision that you start knowing what next. There are times that the man that God is calling is as, let me use the word, scared as the people that God is calling him to. I was scared. I was having a lot of questions on my mind. Is this what I will do for the rest of my life? Because around that season, I had finished from university in 2014. I finished from 2013. 2014, I was already a graduate, alright? I had my plans. And according to my plans, in this 2020 now, alright, according to my plans, I should either be getting my PhD or about to get a PhD. That was my own plan. Alright? Because I love academics. So, but it was like somewhere just all of a sudden, the plans were obstructed. And there was no result. I'm not saying I have result yet to, amen. But what I'm saying is that things were seriously bad. Because I would have loved to put Pastor Julius in a live video. If you can join, just comment. If you are in a place where you can join a live video now, just comment so I can add you up in the live video. You know, when the ministry started, I remember I was living in Moro. If you know Ilefe, there's a place called Moro. There's a village called Moro. The house where I was living then had no roof. It had sack. Just sack. There was no window. It was a roofing sheet that was placed on the window. So coming from that kind of house and say God has called you to do ministry on OAU campus. So the people I was talking this morning about people who stood out to accuse. And the accusation was that I was too broke for anyone to believe that I was coming into ministry not looking for offering. I was too broke. In fact, and I want somebody who is just hearing this to be encouraged. I'm not saying I'm too rich now. See, you get. But I'm saying then I was very badly broke. You know. In the sense that most times I have to leave Moro for campus on Sunday, all right, and then teach. Sometimes I'll leave on Friday in the evening. So I teach workers on Friday in the evening. Then I will sleep Angola hostel. Pastor Julius' bunk, the bunk of his bed. So I will sleep on the bunk. He will sleep on the other place, on the other bunk, all right, with a young man called Opeyemi. So, then, you know, a graduate having to go back to sleep on bunk in the hostel. And the bunk was even better than my own room where I was coming from. That's the truth of the matter. You know, I remember Dr. Folani is not around. He's in Ibadan now. He was staying with me around that time. That's Dr. Gwemi Folani. He might be online. We were staying together in that house. That house, people come from all over to come and learn God's word in that house. As bad as that house was, people will travel from different universities, from UNILAG, from LASU, from UI, different people, mentees. They just want to sit around. And that was like our own heaven. You know, we will eat our concussion rice and then just happily serving God. And sincerely, I didn't love God that much not to have fears. I had fears. Are you following me? I think we are hanging again. We are. Amen. So, I want to be sure if the network is connecting well. So, I had my fears about ministry. I didn't want to look like a lazy man, and I didn't want to look like a non-entity, you know, because the impression some of us had around that season is that if you are doing ministry, you are probably not a serious person. So I will just talk a few things about the beginning of the ministry, lessons that I've learned, and how I think they will do us good. I'm not just here to share stories. I'm here to share lessons, particularly in the lesson, my mistakes. Are you following what I'm saying? my mistake so that somebody else who is watching will not make those mistakes. Are you following me? All right, my mistakes around that season and how you can avoid those mistakes, and then the lessons I was able to learn. So when we started, like I said, there was nothing looking like a man that should be followed. And I sincerely want to bless God for every of our leaders who are following since then and have been following, you know, till now. I mean, look at the pictures I shared this morning. Who wants to follow a man like that? Are you following me? Who want to follow a man like that? There was nothing looking well, except that God had shown these people something. And I want to really, from the depth of my heart, really thank God for them. I can see Pastor Julius online. I can see Ojo Grace online. I can see Shaibu Peter. Some of them are not yet online, but they will join us. For believing in me enough to follow. And I think I like to tell people that in every generation, the first set of people that follow a leader will only survive through forgiveness. In every generation, the first set of people that follow a leader will only survive through forgiveness. Because the leader himself is still growing. The leader himself is not perfect. He's still learning. There are people that when I sit back now and I look back at that time, and I tell myself, if I knew what I know now, they would never have left. I would have begged them. You say, Pastor, beg them. Yes, I would have begged them. Because not everyone is indispensable. There are some of them, when I wake up in the morning, I still shed tears. And I just want to communicate to them how much they are loved, and that they should never doubt the fact that they are loved. You know, I just want to tell them again and again. Some of them left feeling maybe they were not loved or something. And we didn't know much. I think our ministry have not had many exits compared to entries, you know, but still those exits are painful. And even if they are watching, I would like to say, come back home, you know. And it's just a cry of my heart. The Yorubas will have an adage and say that 20 children cannot play for 20 years. But I think in Christ it should be possible. In Christ it should be possible, you know. So, yes, like I said, the first set of people that will follow a leader will only survive through forgiveness, because the man himself is growing. It looks like the moment a man is your leader, then he knows everything and has everything intact, but the man himself is growing. God is building the pulpit as he's building the pew. Are you following me? Alright, so, but I know we are still growing, and God will help us in ministry. There's nothing you can do. It's like breathing. You have to breathe in and breathe out. People will come and people will go. But it is always important that nobody should live out of strife. Such that even if people go, whether to join another work somewhere, or for one, or because of change in location, that we can still reach out to each other in the future. You know, I believe that when a ministry loses our first generation, if the ministry is not careful, the ministry is trading a legacy. If the ministry loses, because the first generation are the proof of consistency with God's call. They are the epistles. If you see a ministry that has their first generation, at least 70% of them, they are doing something right. So our heart must be large to make sure we don't lose our firstborn. I remember there was somebody we lost in the sense that he stopped coming because he was offended. And what was the issue? I remember that day I was teaching in the afternoon and she was eating chewing gum. She was standing. And I said, you don't do that. Look at my face. That was the way I was looking. You don't do that. Alright? You don't do that. A leader should not do that. Now, throw that chewing gum away. So I said that. And she hesitated, but she threw the chewing gum away. But after then, she never came back. She was the assistant treasurer then. All right. Now, somebody listening to me will say, now, that kind of a person was wrong, was rude. Why should she not come back? Can she not be corrected? I will say, if there's any lesson I learned from that experience, it is the fact that train people first before you make them leaders. Leaders may misbehave, but trained leaders barely misbehave. If we had first trained them, then, you get what I'm saying? Somebody like that would have understood what should be done or not done. Papa, can we get the audio of this? Yes. Right, Austin? We can get the audio of this. Oh, beautiful. All right. So we can get the audio of this. Amen. Okay. So, praise God. Yes. So when the ministry started, there were loads of criticism and people rising up, pastors, say they called most of these people. In fact, I don't even know why Pastor Julius is still following me. He must have seen something, you know. And I remember they called him to a meeting and said to him, this man you are following is going nowhere to happen. This person is going to fail. Have you not seen? Why is he still hooked? He's not been able to go for his NYSC. He's hanging. This person is going nowhere. He has no plan about his future. Just carrying Bible up and now. He's going nowhere to happen. Stop following him. And one of them stood out that day and said to him, I bet with you and guarantee you, in the next 6 months, this ministry will not be in existence. That's why these 6 years matters to me. I know we are still going to do 60 years. And everybody will still be fine, intact and alive. That's why these 6 years matters to me. So, I remember that day, my friend, Femi Okeopemi, is not online, alright, he's in Lagos. I remember we were together at Mimbo then, some of the people who were also online were there that day. And I was so insulted. In fact, somebody said to me, he said, if any of these children following you should fail, you know, you are not a student of this campus. We will drag you from this main bowl and drag you on the floor to campus gate. I'm going to embarrass you. We will lock you up in Gadom. We will flog you. True. And I was like, God, these children, they must not fail. I remember that day, after those accusations, after those insults, I went to Sport Complex. I wanted to pray. I couldn't pray. I wanted to cry. I couldn't cry. I sat down. I was like, God. And you know, accusations usually rest on pre-existing issues on ground. In the sense that the devil begins to confirm the words of men through personal issues you are going through. If you have ever told yourself, my life is too painful. Things are not going fine with me. Why is everything going wrong with me? Once people accuse you, you will see yourself in that light. So the devil took me in the light of the things I've been through as a child. As I was showing, you see how painful your life is. Somebody like you, your life is just so painful. Your life is terrible. You are not accepted anywhere. Your life is miserable. So I wanted to cry. I couldn't cry. I remember how that I landed so much in depression around that season. I could not sleep in my house. I had to leave my own house. And I was sleeping in Fudge Hostel on OAU campus, block I-5, Fudge Annex, with Femi Okeopemi. And my joy is that these people are still together. Some of them have been together for 11 years, up since 2009, 11 years, and we're still together this afternoon. I remember how that, you know, this is not the time to share stories, but I'm just saying this to encourage somebody out there. You know, because you feel when you are starting something new, the people that should support you the most, who have been blessed through your ministry, who should encourage you the most, should be the church. But I want to tell you that in most cases, it is not so. And the people who are accusing you are not accusing you because they hate you. They are accusing because they think they love God. They think they are doing the best thing. I never understood the meaning of that until I read the book of Rejoiner, when I discovered that, alright, in every spiritual battle, The people, the first set of soldiers that fight on the side of the enemy are Christians who think they are fighting on the side of God. They are the ones who bring down other ministries. They are the ones who talk down other ministers. They are the ones who kill and murder the moves of God. Christians. You know, and by the grace of God, I can say this on all grounds, that both myself and all those who stood in accusation in those seasons, we are still together as friends. In fact, last week I still ministered in the platform. Alright? But they really didn't know. They were doing it on behalf of God. Nobody could believe that somebody who is broke and starting ministry could be starting the ministry without planning for offering. He's not doing it because he wants to raise money. You get what I'm saying? And we never took any offering for 2 years. Not because God says don't take offering. That's another mistake I made. But because I had been accused so much, and I felt, you know what, let's just stay away from this offering thing. So people were getting blessed spiritually, but they were not getting blessed financially. I'm just saying it, that one of the greatest things that have happened to me in this life, that God has done for me, apart from my salvation, is when he brought me to my spiritual father. If you're a Christian watching me now, you don't have a spiritual father, you need it. Alright? I see, my greatest weakness, somebody asked me, what's the weakness I've struggled with in ministry the most? It is fear. I had wasted many opportunities, many things I could have done, many things I could have become, because I was too afraid. It was when I met my spiritual father that I started becoming bold. You know, now I can tell people, do what I'm telling you to do, do the right things. Me, before, I can't do all those things. The leaders are here. I'll tell you what I'm advising you to do. Do it, oh. Do it. You know, if you do it, it's for your own good. If you don't do it, you are the one that know. But when I met, and that's why I discovered that one of the importance of spiritual fathering is that a father gives a child courage. Yes. And I want to advise somebody who is watching me. Don't have a father who doesn't know you. Have a father who knows you by name. There's a reason. Because the mistakes in ministry cannot be corrected through messages alone. You need somebody who can call you by your name to order and pray for you by your name. Alright, it's a principle that I know works. Some of the worst mistakes people make in ministry are the mistakes that comes as a result of having fathers that don't know you. So, you know, ministry is not a field for the fatherless. I want to say again, I mean spiritually fatherless, not people who don't have father physically. Ministry is not a field for the fatherless. The fatherless in the sense that those who don't have spiritual parents, somebody you can be traced to. Are you following what I'm saying? Alright, so you need accountability. That is one thing that God has used to bless me. Guess what? I remember in year 2011 or thereabout, I had a vision. It was a major vision about my life, right, where I saw myself ministering alongside a major minister of God. And I concluded, right, that God would have me stay in that church for the rest of my life. I remember that another time in year 2013, God, out of his mercy, showed me a vision where I saw myself, right, I saw myself in a place, right, and in that place, I saw Pastor Ia, the boy, was anointing ministers. Ministers of God with oil. And when he got to my turn, and I went to meet him, sir, it's my turn to be anointed. He looked at me and said, the oil has finished. I said, ha, oil has what? This thing followed me here again. Oil has finished. Ah, when other ministers have been coming, they've been getting anointed. My own turn. You are saying oil has finished. You know, I shared with a few friends that were around me in that season. And the first thing somebody said to me around them, he said, go and check your life. Whether you are living a life of immorality. Whether there's sin in your tent. Whether there's something you are not doing right. Whether you have been living a life of sin. And God is trying to call you to order. I say, ah. I'm not living a life of sin. I'm not perfect, but I know I'm not living a life of sin. You know, that vision affected my self-esteem. It affected my self-esteem for 5 years. It was in 2018
We were in a program where my spiritual father was ministering, and he said, there's somebody here that has misinterpreted a major vision about his life. And God is saying, go and pray again. You know, I went back to God in sincere prayer and fasting. And guess what? I saw myself in another vision in that same place where he was anointing ministers. And he was anointed. I now discovered that the ministers he was anointing in the first vision were plenty. But there was another oil for other ministers who were just few. And he said, you are standing on the wrong queue. This oil here is for those that are starting a new work. This is where you should be. And I got anointed. So sometimes we misinterpret visions because we think God is done saying what it will take him years to say. And it affects everything about our lives. So I believe that God is too intentional to communicate with us through parables. In Mark 4:11, the Bible says that unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Right, he said, but to those who are without, these things are only said in parables. I don't belong to those who are without, I belong to those who are inside. So my father will not speak to me in parable, he will speak to me in clear terms. You know, and I was not ever going to believe there was anything of significance about my life. But when God opened my eyes and I saw the vision again, I saw it in clearer terms, then I discovered I would have missed a major opportunity. So there might be somebody watching me here that you have missed something about your life because of misinterpretation to a major vision. It is possible to see correctly but interpret wrongly. Are you following me? And I could have missed it. You know, I kept announcing to people when our ministry started that we can never be a church. You were there. You were there. We can never be a church. The day we ever become a church, leave. I was making conclusive what God was starting. And yes, I still know of somebody who said, this man is not a man of integrity. Shea said to us, this can never be a church. Why is it now a church? Because sometimes we are just so honest. Sometimes we are just so naive. We are just so sincere that we are sincerely wrong. We are trying to make conclusions for God when God is just starting. So I want to say, about that vision in your hands, God is not done giving you the details of what he wants to do. We know in part. Alright, we see vision becomes clearer with exposure and time. Are you following me? Vision becomes clearer with time and exposure. Alright, no vision is conclusive. It becomes clearer with time and exposure. Are you following me? So I was never going to see myself becoming a lead pastor of a church. It was never an ambition. I never saw it. When we were going to start Sphere of Light Church in 2018, alright, I bless God, all of them, they are here, they are online, they are following, they are commenting here. When we were going to start Sphere of Light Church, the building, the rent of the building was 50,000 naira. We started in Moro. Alright, the rent of the building was how much? 50,000 naira. Now, it was a building that has no roof. There was no roof. There was just a roofing sheet on it. No electric cables around the building. The wall was not even plastered. So we had to do the rest ourselves. I remember, and I'm saying this for you to know how much we value our people, those who have been laboring with us. These children emptied their purse. I was somebody who had just finished service. There was no reason why anybody would want to advise somebody to follow me. Because I looked hungry. You know, like there was nothing, I'm telling you. So I just finished service, and you know, now we are starting a church, you know. So I remember the day we were painting the church, how that we're on singlets and short knicker. We had to do the painting ourselves because we could not afford a painter. I remembered how that we had spent, every one of us, the leaders, we had spent every money we had on ground. All the money we had on ground, all, we had spent it. In fact, I remember that one of them went as far as, even myself, went as far as, there was a something loan, that time, soft loan, 3,000 and so on. We had taken with our account, you remember? What loan is that? Pay later. we had all taken those loans in our, so we are buying paint, we had all done that. And when we were in church that morning, when we just started, and I was like, God, even me, I don't know where we are going next from here. But I just know that you have called us to do this, and here we are. I don't know what next. And I just knew that what God has placed in my hands will never die. But I didn't know anything about the future. I didn't know anything. Even now, I don't know completely. And that's why I tell people, there's no such thing about knowing your purpose entirely at a young age. You will only know what God wants you to do. You will know the starting. It will begin to get it will be unfolding as you grow up. Sometimes you are under pressure of trying to know everything about your life at this stage. You may never really know. It will just keep unfolding. God will keep exposing you to them. Because there are some of them, if God should show you yet, you will not believe it. Are you following me? You know? So, and this has always worked. I believe one of the reasons why I don't get to fall into trouble is that in terms of divine instruction, I've learned not to make conclusive what God is starting. Are you following me? I hear instruction for the next level, and I say, this is what God is saying, do for now. And guess what? I have always learned to submit those instructions to higher authorities, because in this kingdom, wisdom is superior to revelation. Wisdom is superior to revelation. You know, I keep making reference to my spiritual father, because I look at the grace of God and the mercy of God, the blessedness we enjoy today, and I know how tough it could have been if not for strategic counsel. That's why I'm talking about the need to have a father that can sit down with you and look into what you are doing. I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when I honor my spiritual father online, I see people look at it like you are evil worshipping, or you are... No, we are not evil worshipping. If somebody can come into your life in one day, rescue from the stress of 10 years, should that man not be celebrated? Through a counsel, can rescue from the stress of 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And give you instruction. Don't do this like this. Do it like this. Pastor Femi, what about you? Check it like this. And you know you have a father who is praying for you. I'm just saying this because I am genuinely concerned about us as ministers, you know. And that's why I said to a school of ministry student yesterday that it doesn't matter the principles you learn from any school of ministry all over the world. If you don't have a father that knows the peculiarity of your situation, your journey will still be slow. There is something about counsel that will be given to you by people who God has placed over your life. Are you following what I'm saying? That, you know, even if you read 10,000 books, you may not get that counsel. Because books don't address unique situations. Books addresses things generally. Are you following me? You know, so I pointed out a few things, and I keep blessing God. We are not where we want to be, but we know we are in the midst of God's plan. You know, and that alone in itself is worthy of praise. I remember a time how that something happened when we just finished plastering the church, painting, and yes, in our own little church, then for me it was a thing of joy because this was all we have. It's all we have. You know, so, and somebody that I would have called the closest person to me then, I just called the fellow, I will code it, I will not say the way it is, that evening, and we're having a discussion, and the fellow just said, we had a family meeting today, and I was told I can't move with you because you are going to be a full-time pastor for the rest of your life. And I was like, what? You know, that statement, as simple as it seemed, landed me in depression for about 2 weeks. I'm just honest with you. No filter. You know? I don't have anything to lose. We have to bless the body of Christ. You know, I remember locking myself up in the room, and the devil started reminding me of many things I've been through in life. And I was just like, it's better for me to just die. I was actually going to end my life. Just 2 years ago. I was actually going to end my life. I felt, So I will say this to you, that the enemy strike best immediately after a victory is won. If you want to know the time of attack of the enemy, is that moment when you feel there's something to celebrate. And that's why the Bible said, having done all, stand. Are you following me? Yes. That's when you are likely going to be discouraged. That's when you are likely going to, you know, to do what you want to do. This is a question from Freeman Paul. I think this is from South Africa. This fellow is saying, what is it that has helped you submissive to those ahead of you? I've learned from my own foolishness. Sometimes the instructions I receive, I feel I'm too wise that those instructions will help me. But in each of those cases, I've failed. So there's a difference between being humble and being humbled. Alright? So when you are following, you will be humble, then you'll be humbled. Each time you try to run out of following, you'll be humbled. You know? So I've learned that I can't help myself. So I've learned to trust that if God should bring me under a man, then God has placed the man with the wisdom and the values. See that values part that I will need to succeed in ministry. That values. And if God has placed something in that man that is a core value to that man, I will have to become my own core value too. This is where fathering followership becomes stressful. Because your father's core value will stretch you. You don't have it. Sometimes you believe in punctuality. If you say you are coming by 10 it is. And you are someone who just do things anyhow. You'll have to embrace that core value so you can survive. God bless you. Will the fear ever go away? Yes, there comes a time where you enter into the flow of faith. Alright? But for most aspects of ministry, there are times that God will give you new instructions and you'll be afraid. You have to learn to start doing it afraid. You know, so, but you can also enter into the overflow. How can one overcome the fear to step into ministry or anything that God wants you to do? Believe that what God wants you to do, whenever God creates, whenever God has a demand, He first gives a supply. So what God wants you to do, you will not do with your own strength. Let me say this to you. If God can be helping somebody like me, then your own case is a good news. It will help you. I'm telling you. You know, so don't be afraid. Just do what God wants you to do. You know, and don't postpone it. It may be stressful at first, but you do well. You will not fail. Okay, this question from Adeniran Mordecai. How can I know the right spiritual father to follow? There will be a witness in your heart. God says that we hear a voice behind us saying this is the way, walk in it. There will be a witness in your heart. And, you know, yes, on who to follow. You know, and you have to reach out to the person and let the fellow know you want to follow. Because two cannot work together except they be agreed. But there will be a witness in your heart. And in some cases, the person would have witnessed it in his own heart also. And in some cases, the fellow will have to go and pray afresh. You know, so... okay, this question from Bankole Oluwase. Femi Lazarus, please sir, starting up and compared to now, how were you able to handle the issue of your own finance provision, even while things were hard? I'm asking from Dr. Ogun State. Yes, personal finance in ministry. You don't confuse personal finance with ministerial finance. You know, I remember then, I think for us in our ministry, for me, it took a while before the issue of personal finance even became an issue. You know, I have to learn to live by faith. By faith in the sense that I trust God that He will send somebody to bless my life. Trust God. And sometimes, even in those early phases, it was so serious that I would have to trust God to send somebody to bless me with 5 naira. Then pure water was 5 naira to buy pure water to drink. It was so serious. I had to trust God. Many times I finished ministry and I had to go back home. I don't have transport fare to go back home. And the place where I was living, so compared to where we are having our ministry, if you are going to trek at all, it will take you at least 2 hours. If you are tomorrow, 2 hours, yes. And God will say to me, don't ask anybody for money. If I've called you, I will sponsor you. And many times I will enter the bus knowing I don't have money. And the people will walk me down to the bus. Papa, we love you. Thank you. Please take care of yourself. And I want to ask, please, change. And God said, don't ask anybody. And on all of those occasions, somebody would always run back. I say, Pastor, God just lays in my heart, take this 500 naira. On all of those occasions, somebody would always come back and say, Pastor, on all of those occasions. So God takes care of His own. Now things are a lot better. And probably some other time I will talk about the issue of ministers of God learning to set up partnership structure, and if God permits, you learning to set up financial structure apart from the ministry. All right, I have my own financial structure apart from the ministry. Everybody around me knows I love investment, but you know, before you can actually get to some point, you will have to learn to live by faith. And let me say this: don't ever be tempted to take from the purse of the ministry. What God wants to give you will give you. Don't take from God's money. Don't confuse it with yours. Amen. Okay, so yes, I believe that has helped somebody. Okay. Okay, from Mark and then Moses from Ogun State. How do I approach a man God leading me to submit to his son? Just simply approach him and tell him how you've been blessed by his ministry and let him know that God will have you follow him. You can write on social media to him. If the fellow is convinced, will give his number and so on and so forth. You can send a mail to them. But just make sure there are people that at least you can reach. Your father is not necessarily going to be less busy. Uh-huh. Somebody says, my leader is too busy. How do I follow the fellow? The reason why the fellow is busy is because something is working. But that's why they are busy. Are you following me? So I said to people yesterday in school of ministry that a father is not to have and to hold like the teddy bear. Sometimes they'll be so busy. And that's why the one we want something is the one who must learn how to pursue. If there's anything painful I've seen in my generation, is that young men don't want to pursue. You must learn to pursue. Amen. Okay, so how do you cope with your financial life with ministry? I think I've answered that. I submitted to a spiritual father that chose me. I didn't know what he saw in me and was sincerely happy, but he said to me today, I'm your father and discipler, and by God's grace I've submitted according to how. Okay, this question is not too clear, but recently he asked who I'm submitted to, but I answered it him, and I'm still shaking to have a conversation, sir. What should I do? Alright, once you are convinced that that's your spiritual father, and God has led you there, and you are convinced, you are not bullied into the relationship, then you should keep following. Alright, when do we stop following a man? When the man stops following Christ. As long as the man is still following Christ, we ought to follow. Amen. And then, of course, maybe do some other sensitive things. Okay, this question from Zambia, that's Freeman Paul. How do you deal with accusations in ministry? Number one, recognize your accuser. That the devil is the accuser of brethren. So when the brethren accuse, they are only yielding to the accuser of brethren. Are you following what I'm saying? So recognize that people are ignorant tools in the hands of the accuser himself. The devil cannot come down from where he is to accuse you. You will need Christians to do so. When you recognize that, you will not enter into offenses, because you can be cheated twice. If you are accused and you get offended, then your accuser will also stunt your growth. Amen. So forgive your accusers on time. Okay, this question from Benin City. How can one overcome the fear of failing in ministry? What can someone do in the days of discouragement? In the days of discouragement, let me say this. All right, apart from prayers, apart from trusting God, which is also a season to wait upon God in fasting, you need the presence of like-minded brothers who can, in their comfort, comfort you. As I'm pastoring in this city, I bless God for strategic friends that God has placed around my life. Friends that you can reach out to. You can share burdens together. You can cry together and rejoice together. That's how to know a true friend in ministry. You feel what I'm saying? Alright, so you need brethren around you. Don't do ministry in isolation. The Bible says that the devil, like a thief, like a wounded lion, roaming about, looking for whom to devour. Alright, if you look at lions and their strategy, they devour wounded animals and they devour lone rangers. Are you following me? This is why God said the solitary families. Only the rebellious dwell in dry land. Are you following me? Alright, so you need the presence of people around you who will inspire you and encourage you in those days. Okay, this question from Abami Faith. Was there any fear of missing the mark when you started your ministry rather than pastoring under non-denomination? Yes, there was a fear of missing the mark. At times when body starts stigmatizing you and say, now you too, you have become a general overseer, Abi, and they look like, ha. Oh, it's not an ambition. It was God who called me. You know, so there's that fear of, I don't want to miss it. But instead of fear of failure, why don't you have faith of success?
that, you know, God who has called me, who has started a good work, will perfect it. And I'm so much full of faith that God will perfect it. Amen. Glory to God. I think we are hanging again. Okay, we are back. Amen. Okay. Okay, this question from Temila Adeomi. Sir, what do you do when you perceive God will have you start a work of ministry afresh with specific instruction that is more true, more thorough than when God first spoke the assignment? So, what, in this kind of case, what you have to do is to check, what did you miss in the first time you were starting the work? What area have you missed it? What area did you miss it? You know, so that you can, when starting again, you will not make the same mistake. Because you can't do the same things twice and expect different results. So check what you missed the other time and do it again with thoroughness and accountability. God told Moses, according to the pattern you see on the mount, build. So we are to build according to pattern. In ministry, patterns are received, structures are built. Patterns are received, structures are built. Don't forget that. Okay, this question from Rhoda Adedeji from USA. Is there a difference between a mentor and a spiritual father? Yes. A mentor inspires, counsel, and instruct and guide. A mentor inspires, counsel, and guide, not necessarily through physical contact, through books, through messages. For instance, I mentor thousands of people, but a father instructs and a father nurtures. I cannot father anybody through messages and books. I need to know you by name. I need to be able to correct you. In ministry, when a mentee is misbehaving, you can counsel them. Don't you think you need to take time out and then go and relax? But when you are dealing with a son, you can tell the son, step down for 2 months, go and fast. All right, let somebody else continue the work. You can tell the son, stop doing anything for the next 2 weeks, go and rest. If you do that to somebody who is a mentee, it will look like you are overbearing them. You get what I'm saying? You are putting your weight on them. But a son abides in the house forever. Sons will obey. That's the difference. Your father is the one who will make sure compulsorily you don't fail. But a mentor will only guide and advise you. Fathering is more thorough. Okay, this question from Florence. Okay. Sitful. Florence, where are you asking this question from? Okay, this is from Ghana. Oh, Florence. Yes. Florence, good to have you here. Okay. Earlier you mentioned that we first train people before making them leaders. Papa, please, what advice do you give to someone who is an untrained leader and is not receiving intentional training from the leader aside from following by observation? Ah! Alright, of course, I bless God that you got the first principle. It is training first before leadership position. In ministry, we don't give anybody leadership position to encourage them. We don't give people leadership position because they are anointed. We don't give people leadership position because they look sound. We don't give them position because they have money. All right, look at the pattern of the apostles. Act of Apostles, chapter number 6. Peter said, we cannot leave the word of God to serve our tables. Now let us do from amongst them us faithful men who have honest report, full of wisdom and the spirit of God. Faithful men. So you check for principles, core values like faithfulness. Don't give somebody who is not following you leadership position in your ministry. They will build the ministry with another man's anointing. Don't wire leadership around people who don't believe in your own leadership. So even if you will have 2 people who believe in you, they will do well than 30 who don't see you as a man to follow. So the first thing you have to do is to first train people. So sometimes the ministry people have made mistakes. They are placeable in positions who don't believe in them. They don't follow them. They don't even listen to them. And then you don't build ministry around friends. You build around sons. Alright, so in that case, what you do is simple. Pray to God. Alright, the new structure on ground, state it. Don't be afraid of breaking down to rebuild. It is for the progress. The truth of the matter is that for ministry to go well, some people will have to leave. That's the truth. Because they came built on wrong foundation. And now you have to demolish the foundation and rebuild. So, sometimes you have to start afresh. Amen. And I believe that has helped somebody. How were you able to build loyal men around you from Auchi? Well, nobody builds loyal men. God sends loyal men. But you train them to be loyal. And let me say this to you. If you are loyal to those you follow, as long as the heaven and the earth remain, seed time and harvest time will not cease. So if you are loyal, they will see your example and will be loyal. And that's why I encourage ministers of God. In ministry, you don't change fathers like rag. You say, when I was at this level, this person was qualified to be my father. Now I have grown, I have seen a better father. It's simple. You are laying a legacy. When those under you two have grown, they will see somebody who is better to follow. That's the way it works in ministry. So be careful of the pattern you leave. God send loyal men, but you train them to be loyal. You teach them loyalty. Through teachings and examples. You know, in ministry, it is garbage in, garbage out. Don't expect from people what you are not teaching them. In your administration during the annual believers retreat, you said God told you not to desert his servant at the way he served in the RCCG. This is a very sensitive topic. Yes, what God was simply saying is that for me to remain covenantly partnering with the ministry. So I do that. I partner with the ministry covenantly. And when I see people talking bad about the man of God, I don't join them. I don't even join anybody in talking down any minister of God. People don't know how sacred it is. You know? Are there books you can recommend for Mark and Moses? Are there books to recommend for young ministers? Yes. Read books by Kenneth E. Hagin, but balance it with Billy Akoni. Build your spirit, then build your character. When you are reading those ones, be balancing them like that. I think for books depends on the season that you are in. There are seasons you get to that just one author will be blessing you more than all other authors. Are you following me? So it depends on the season. Just follow God's leading, you'll be blessed. Okay. More questions? Oh, glory to God. Okay, this question from Tommy Singh. Papa, please, sir, how did your parents react to your struggles? Were they supportive? Did they believe your calling? A friend of mine who is choosing ministry is heavily opposed by his parents. I know my dad, I don't know if he's online, but I'll still say what happened. When our ministry started, the instruction from home was for me to leave Nigeria for UK. That was the instruction from home. Right? We're already working my visas since 2012, you know, and my father could not believe. What is this boy picking in that Ife? What are you doing in that place? What exactly are you picking in that place? But God said, go to Ife. Alright, and I will reward you the way no one can. And I stayed with it. So they were not supportive. You know, at some point, myself and my father, we were not in communication for like a year. We only met in one wedding again, and then we saw each other and we're like, it's been long, I've seen you, you're not calling me. You know, and then, but you have to learn to be tenacious with the vision. Because if the vision dies, those who didn't make you do it will be the first people to accuse you also. So it must not die. Amen. Okay, this question from Zambia. How can one partake of the grace admired and desired upon those ahead of you? Honor them. Be a blessing to them. Be of service to them. You admire a grace in someone, be a blessing to them. Give yourself to their materials. Honor them. Okay, this question. Oh, thank you, Lord. This question from Juan Doros Mary. Must all pastors, lead pastor ministers, do ministry a long time business to sustain their financial life and guard against accusation? No. It depends on your consecration. There are people that God will have you stay. There's no such thing as all pastors, a principle for all pastors, apart from principle of holiness and then doing the right things, integrity and all. But sometimes God allows you to do some things. Sometimes He doesn't allow you to do them. Just be honest to know what God is allowing you to do and stay steadfastly with it. Amen. Okay. You know, I remember there was a particular time when I started having vision, and I went to give my spiritual father an account that, you know, he's like, God is sending me to go and do ministry in Ghana. You know, and he was asking, the one you started here in Nigeria, how old is the ministry? And he said a principle to me then that blessed me. He said, ministry does not start in places. Ministry starts in people. So don't ever think of starting a branch of ministry in a place because the place is good. Until you have people there, don't go there. And in ministry, location is not a strategy. Location must be an instruction. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. More questions? Okay, this question from Oluwa Pelumi. Always write out, okay, location, good. Okay, how are you able to manage the fear of starting out? Even when everyone you see stronger than you barely haven't started out, you have to look up to Jesus. And as a minister of God, it is important that if you want to last, and when it comes to obeying God's instruction, make sure your heart is prepared to have nothing to lose. Just do it afraid. We're not there to please anybody. I know fear is real in ministry. You know, I know if the world only know what ministers of God go through, the accusations will be minimal. But if you are doing the work of God the way God wants it done, He will reward you. He will reward you. It doesn't matter the accusations you face. God will reward you. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Bless God for all these questions. Do we have one or two more questions before we leave? You know, one or two more. And you have something you want to say about how you've been blessed from our ministry, how we've been a blessing to you. We'd like to hear from you. Myself and my team, we are all here watching. I want to really thank God for you. You have been blessed one way or the other by our ministry. Say it and let us know so we can keep praying for you and note you also, you know, and all. Just state it. You know you've been blessed one way or the other. State it. God bless you. And if you also have something you are trusting God for, that in our own little state you have seen God have been doing with us in this ministry, you can also start praying about them now. I want to sincerely pray for all ministers in my generation, so we can agree together that we all will finish strong. I'm not standing here as one who knows better. No. I'm standing here, I'm privileged of God. There are many of you there who can teach a lot of things better. You know, so it's a privilege. I'm not standing here as one who is doing ministry better than you, or so on and so forth. But just that in my own little light that I have, I can just share, you know, and then you'll be blessed. So, you have something you have seen probably in my life or in the ministry that you are trusting God for. You should start crying to God about it now. Something is being released. Yes, it is contagious. You can receive it while you are there. It is very contagious. How do you manage being single considering your age and call? Amen. By the grace of God and by His mercy in ministry, God has been helpful. Are you following me? So being single has never been an issue for me, because one would chase 1,000, two would chase 10,000. Before we start thinking of chasing 10,000, at least you start chasing 1,000. And then singleness only becomes an issue for a pastor who has no wall, who has no boundary. So that we are single, we still have boundaries. Serious, strict one. And I don't smile when the boundaries are tampered with. Anyone who tampers with that boundary tampers with the future. Tampers with my relationship with God. The minister of God must be tough and tender. For me, Yeshua Ojo, who have been so blessed. So I stay in China, honestly. Thank God for your audios. Oh, wow. God bless you. All the way from China, we bless you. Thank you, Lord. Shalamakatiyate. Can we all pray in tongues, people of God? Agree with me. If a minister of God who is currently going through a phase where you barely believe in the call of God upon your life, where things don't look like it, where you have promises and you don't know how they will come to pass, let's agree together in prayer. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. The God that I serve will begin to send encouragement to you. He will send His angels to guide and minister to you in the name of Jesus. Let's agree together. Just reach out wherever you are. You are somewhere, you are about to stop that work. You are thinking of giving up. You are wondering, you have made so much mistakes in the past. How can God ever use a man like you? Just agree with me in prayer. Before you throw in the towel, just believe God together that there's so much that God can still do through you and with you. It's not done with you. Let's just agree in prayers. That which God has said He will do. You are at a situation where you are looking at the promises of God and nothing look like what will guarantee the fulfillment. You are in a phase where nothing looks like the future.
Lord has promised so much, but it's looking like these things may never come to pass. It's looking like these things may never come to pass. We can agree together in prayers. Shalom Akadish. Lemaka Segebromokulatish. Embokom Balakatisha. Hey, Adamakante Bromokulatish. Liga Bramakandelaka. Elevon Tigabalateka. Dear minister of God, I speak to your heart. Find encouragement. Find hope in that which God has called you to do. Don't throw in the towel. Find hope. The faithful is he who has promised. He will watch over his words to fulfill them. God will not bring you this far to leave you back again. God will not bring you this far to leave you back again. If he has called you, he will help you. If God has called you, he will help you. If God has called you, he will help you. Your finance, everything is under control. I have seen God send men to me. I've seen God send people that I do not even know from anywhere to be a blessing. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid of what men will say to you. Trust God. The one who has called you has more than enough provisions for you. Provision is what goes ahead of the vision. God has provided ahead of that vision. Just reach out in faith. Say, I know I will finish well. I know I will finish that which God has called me to do. Just reach out in faith. Selemaka balabakati. Oh Jesus. Amen. You know, I was saying yesterday in church. Break it down a bit. I was saying yesterday in church to the people while ministering that I don't struggle with the thought of whether I need to humble myself because there's something that God is doing in my life and I'm a great man of God. I don't struggle with that thought. It doesn't occur to me. Sometimes people call me and they say, Pastor, you know, we are listening to your messages in India, we are getting blessed in China, we are getting blessed in so and so and so place. But I want to encourage you. You should always see the bigger picture. Don't ever have the arrival mentality. That mentality where you feel you are there. Don't have it. Don't have that mentality. It stinks and it destroys ministers in their prime. It destroys the future before they can ever get there. Don't nurse that mentality. Don't nurse it. Don't nurse that mentality. Amen. If you have something you are battling with, there's a minister of God seeing me now. And the Lord is asking me to decree that consistent episode of debt is cancelled. That consistent episode of debt is cancelled. In the name of Jesus. That consistent episode of debt is cancelled. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Can we sing a song of allegiance together? That which God has called us to do will be devoted to it. Will not be divided, will not leave it, will not check out of it. And the song says, I pledge allegiance to you with all my strength, with all I have. Wherever you are listening from, just place your hand on your chest as we sing that song. Somebody is listening to me now, you need to renew your consecration. You need to be consecrated to God. Stop living in sin. Stop living in sin. You need to renew your vows before God. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to help you.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His covenant. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to Him.
Sometimes the going gets tough, and it looks like there's nowhere else to go. And you look at yourself and you're like, where will I turn from here? And you know, you know your devotion to God, and everything seems wrong altogether. Nothing about your life look like what should be believed in. And you know, you won't believe what God has shown to you about the future. And sometimes you want to get something right, you just keep making mistakes in that area. There's a God who strengthens those cause. There's a God who helps us through those tribulations. There's a God who keeps us. There's a God whose words are yes and amen. There's a God who is true and just. There's a God who will never leave or forsake you. There's a God who will never despise you, even in the days of your little beginnings. There's a God who cares, who holds the future in His hands. There's a God who will preserve you. There's a God. In Jude verse 24, said unto Him, who is able to keep us from falling and present us spotless before the Father. In ministry, not all testimonies can be shared. There are testimonies that will forever be between you and God, and you are only saying, thank you, Lord. How that several times over we could have destroyed our own lives. Several times over we could have damaged ourselves, given into criticism, to fear, to discouragement, to depression. But there's a God who encourages us through it all. The days of food, the days we have to abase, the days we have to stay without nothing, not because we are fasting, but because we just have to wait and trust God. That God never leaves nor forsake you. He never despises us. To everyone watching, we trust in God. That God never leaves. He never forsake you. He's the one who has called you.
When the back went against the wall, and it looks as if it was over, you made a way, and we stand in here only because you made a way. When our back went against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. You move mountains, you cause walls to fall with your powers. You perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. So we stand in here only because you made a way. Oni duro mi esheu, boba she ni olodu ni ati maso, boba she ni olodu ati salo. Oni duro mi esheu, Jesu oni duro mi esheu. Boba she ni olodu ni ati masudu. Boba she ni olodu ati salo. Oni duro mi esheu.
Bless the name of the Lord. Just thank Him for His mercies that preserved you. It doesn't matter the level you think you are. Just thank Him for that mercy that has kept you over the years. Bless Him. Bless Him. bless him. You know, you might still be at that phase, and that's why I know, I believe God has allowed me to have so many experiences. So I can be touched with, you know, those who are going through, you know, and those who are passing through can really relate. I know what it means to borrow money for food. I know what it means to borrow money to do projects in ministry. And we are not where we want to be, but I can tell you that God does reward, and he does change times and seasons. You know, and I just want you to bless him for how far he has helped you, knowing fully well that he who has started a good work will perfect what he has started. Just thank him and say to God, I will not be discouraged anymore. I will not tire out. I will not be discouraged. I will not be afraid. No, I will stay with what you have called me to do. I will not be discouraged, Father. I will not tire out. I will not give up. I will not be discouraged. I will believe you till the very end. There may be somebody who is watching me, a young man called to ministry, and you are thinking one day you stand before the father of your parent or the father of the one you want to marry, and they will ask you questions of what you do for a living, and you are thinking of how you tell them you are a pastor. We are in a generation where pastors are more criticized than anyone else. Don't be afraid to tell anyone you're a pastor. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to them who believe. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not afraid of the one who was not ashamed to die for me. And I want to encourage everyone who is watching me. Alright? Spend your time with people who believe in what God has called you to do. Those who are excited about what God has called you to do. Spend your time with them. And the same God will preserve you. He will. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, I remember there was a particular day where I shared the story. I went to Koza with one of my pastors, Pastor Henry. Not online. I don't know if he's online. And, you know, I went to Koza to be blessed, Bible study. And I went for apostolic work in Lagos then for 1 year and 1 month. God sent me to go to a campus for 1 month apostolic work. And sincerely, the only shoe I had, heaven and earth, that was the only shoe I was wearing. It was a black shoe, you know, and I was not afraid. It was the only shoe I had. When I got to church that day and I saw people wearing Brooks, Oxford, different kinds of shoes, you know, I was like, when they called for first time, I didn't go out. I didn't go out. I eat my legs under the chair. And I was like, go out for first time. Look at what I'm wearing. You know, I remember after that meeting, we went, myself and Pastor Harry, we went to Ikeja, we were pricing shoes. And they would call some shoes 30-something thousand. I said, what? I was angry with a man who was selling shoes. I was like, what do you mean? 30 what? Are you guys thieves? Because I'd never bought a shoe beyond 1,200 naira. You know, and we laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. So I had to finally ask Pastor, in fact, this shoe you are wearing, how much did you buy this shoe? So he said, I think about 19,000 something. I said, I didn't know these things are that, you know, expensive. You know, and I remember how I cried to God about, God, will you just bless me with shoes? I want to really go about to preach for you. Sometimes in ministry, your needs can, you can call it trivial. Only people who are going through and who understand what it means to go through, you know what I'm talking about. That point where you have worn one shirt and one trouser, and you are saying, God, I'm tired of being, of disgracing your name. Bless me with one more. If you know somebody who is a minister of God, who is doing God's work faithfully around you, celebrate them and honor them. Tag them in this video. Thank them for the things they have been through that you know nothing about. Yes. Nobody understands the true struggle of a minister of God. Nobody understands the true struggle. All right. Sometimes we're talking in the house. Weekends alone, school of ministry is on with church. Weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I calculated, okay, on Fridays, 4 hours. Are you following me? On Sunday, service, 4 hours. Then school of ministry, 6 hours. That's 14 hours. All right. On Saturday, 6 hours. 6 hours, right? That's how many hours? 20 hours. Of preaching within 3 days, weekends. And sometimes, having done all those things, people are still trying to reach you. People are still trying to call you. Some are angry. Some are offended. You don't like to pick your calls. You don't like to do this. We have been trying to reach you. It's because now you are a big minister of God. You are trying to prove this. Sometimes you don't really understand what a minister of God is going through. Sometimes when the man wants to sleep, is when somebody else just comes in and he has to leave what he wants to do and then counsel the fellow and pray for the fellow. Are you following me? Well, bless God for all ministers of God all over the world. Bless God. Can we celebrate God's gifts to us? Ministers all over the world, just celebrate them. Thank God for His servant. Forget about those you may have in your heart that are not doing this, they are not doing ministry well, they are not doing that well. Bless God for those that God has blessed you with. Bless God for them. If you have a chance to do it, encourage them. Sometimes you just have to send a message to your pastor and say, "Pastor, be encouraged. We are praying for you." You know, you never can tell what a message that looks as small as that can do in saving the life of a minister of God. Are you following me? Glory to God.
What we want to bless God for? A wonderful time in His presence. You know, I'm not a long talker. Only when I have reasons to. Amen. And at this point, I want to agree in prayer with one or two people who might be saying in their heart that there's something you have, Pastor, that I want you to pray for me about. There's something I trust God for in your life, that I want God to place the same thing in my life. And you're saying, "Pastor, you know, I just want you to agree with me right now. But there's something I've seen in Sphere of Light Church, and I believe God can do the same thing in my life, in our ministry, and so on and so forth." And because, you know, you want to, right? Just stretch out your hands wherever you are. I want to pray for you. If you feel there's something God has done in my life that you trust God for, you don't have to have something that you trust God for. But if at least you have one or thereabout, or in our ministry, you trust God for, all right, I agree with you in prayer. I pray for you. I pray for everyone who is connected and have one or two things they have seen, recognized, and are trusting God for. I stretch my hands towards you in agreement. Same grace in the name of Jesus. What God has done to my heart, whatever it is, He will do the same to yours. The same God who helped me, who is helping me through the situations, will help you through. You will not be small. Say that amen loud and clear. The finger of God will single you out. Amen. If there's any convergence of grace you trust God for here, God will bless you with that same grace. Amen. You will start seeing the manifestation in your life. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You will see it. You will do ministry well. Amen. You will not die on the way like smoke. God will bless you with the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of might, spirit of counsel, spirit of the fear of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, you are blessed. God will single you out for favor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.